Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spirit of America party. We give you a little revival music there. Maybe we can revive your soul. Hey, where did the Ten Commandments go? Somebody took them down. Is that why we're having all this morality a problem? You see the school, the sixth, seventh, and eighth graders, what do they call that? No, I was going to say preschool. What was it? Mid school. And they're all sexting each other. So they were having the football team was in the playoffs. And they had this big expose. 6th, 7th, and 8th graders are sexting each other. And it was uncovered. And there's about 500 kids involved. And 500 childs involved. So the school board said to the football team, if you can find enough players that won't be indicted in this sex thing, then you can go into the playoffs. And the coaches came back and said, we can't do it. How many guys on a football team? 11? 12? They couldn't find. You know, they couldn't find that many people in Sodom and Gomorrah either. We're in trouble. We're in all kinds of trouble. And the parents are blaming the teachers. And the teachers are blaming the parents. And Obama just killed the Keystone Pipeline, doing his part to raise the gas prices in America. Don't want to lose that tax revenue. So, having said that, we'll search for some news. In the meantime, we're going to give you the Dells.
Very, very special night. Do you remember a girl? That very special girl. For to the old and to the new, we rededicate this song to you.
That's why I love you.
going to give you a little bit of this tune. It'll give you a little tingle in your feet.
You've got mail.
I'll cut it short. That's a 6-minute tune, and I cut it just right. It's getting nasty out there. I hope it's a sign of desperation. The communists have only Mata Hillary, and she's going to jail. I can see a teary-eyed Bill waving goodbye as the prison gates close. And then he jumps into the Playboy limo. Government mafia is crushing American industry with fines, lies, and setups. ExxonMobil used to be headquartered for years in New Rochelle, New York. As other companies pulled out, Exxon stayed loyal. Then New York State got greedy and tried to make up the loss on Exxon. They just can't help it. They're pigs. And Exxon moved to Virginia. And I think Exxon is now getting ready to leave Virginia, if they haven't done so already. Did you know that Exxon could go into a free trade zone in Jebel Ali in the UAE and get 100 years no taxes? The Democrat Communist Party has destroyed American industry. When the Soviets saw the power of American industry, they knew we were never going to be defeated. American spam saved the Soviet army from starvation. If you talk to any Soviet vet from World War II and you tell him you're American, the first thing he's going to say is spam. But now American companies are no longer loyal to the USA. They've been driven overseas. So they have divided loyalties. And they're keeping their money out of the country because they know this leech government wants to suck their blood. Wait till Wall Street pulls out of New York. the $4,000 a month as studio rat roach trap will be leasing for $40. It'll be all tenements. No God, no country. No industry, no jobs. Wait till you meet the robots. The robots are going to take the place of a lot of workers. Robots are always on the job. They never go sick. They never get pregnant. They have no drug addiction. And all you got to do is spiff them up a little. We're in trouble. So I'd like to give out a message to the Spanish people who are going to be sucking in to give Trump a hard time at SNL for the Communist Party. President Trump, build up the border wall. Presidente Trump, construir este muro. Long live the Tea Party. Viva la fiesta del tea. Long live the boss. Viva Cristo Rey. Long live our American family. Viva nuestra familia americana. We'll go to another tune. And I hope this isn't going to be the nuke song.
Could be, who knows, there's something due any day, I will know right away, soon as it shows, it'd make them cannonballing down through the sky, gleaming its eye, bright as a rose, who knows, it's only just out of reach, down the block on a beach, under a tree. I got a feeling there's a miracle due, gonna come true, coming to me. Could it be? Yes, it could. Something's coming, something good. If I can wait, something's coming. I don't know what it is, but it is gonna be great. With a click, with a shock, phone will jingle, door will knock. Open the latch, something's coming. Don't know when, but it's soon. Catch the moon, one-handed catch. Maybe just by holding still, it'll be there. Come on, something, come on in. Don't be shy. Meet a guy, pull up a chair. The air is humming, and something great is coming. On a beach, maybe tonight.
I turned on Mark Levin tonight, and man, he was railing. He was screaming and hollering. He condemned CNN, which I call a communist news network. Politico, for being saboteurs. See, not like fixed news. Fixed news is subtle sabotage. You have to really analyze what they say when they're talking about Donald Trump, because they're giving him the business, but they do it so gentle, they must use a very sharp dagger. And you don't even feel it going in. But if you watch Fox News, you'll see they always give Trump the business while pretending to be fair and impartial. But Mark was really upset the way that the CNN had attacked President Carson. Anybody that's got potential, I call him president already. President Cruz, President Trump, fondly known to the Latinos who love him as El Trumpo. And, of course, President Carson. So they're trying to take down Carson. It is really sad. The communists hate conservative colored people. They hate them with a passion. And they got to protect Hillary, because Hillary is going to be running the White House from prison. And the Supreme Court already said it's okay. In a 5-4, 5 communist to 4 helpless decision. It's really sad. The country's going down the drain. And Obama killed the Keystone Pipeline. So now they won't be able to use that pipeline until Obama's out of office. And I hope he leaves a lot faster than the Clintons did. I mean, Hillary made at least 3 return trips to get all the silverware. It was falling out of her fur coat when they were leaving. And then Bill, while George Bush was giving his first presidential swearing-in speech, Bill Clinton was acting as if he was still in power in an airplane hangar. You remember that? What a ham. Yep, what a ham. Somebody should put cloves in him. But anyway, Mark Levin was calling CNN a real hit team for trying to take down Carson. And the issue was that Carson said that he had applied for West Point. And they said he didn't. And he was 17 when he applied for West Point. And this was the big scandal. It wasn't the fact that we had a president that was a draft dodger and a vice president who went to Vietnam while his father, the senator, was selling exemptions for $10,000 apiece. You want to get out of Nam? You got $10,000. Okay, come to my Democrat office. Oh, but that's only alleged, because the truth can never be proven in Washington. It's really sad. Okay. I'll give you a little somewhere out there.
Somewhere out
a couple of days ago, the 82nd Airborne boarded a C-17 planes, I believe, and 550 paratroopers flew from Fort Bragg to Zaragoza, Spain, and did an airdrop, did a jump into Zaragoza, Spain, as part of a NATO operation. I believe, in checking the time flights, because nobody would say how long it took them, I believe it took them 10 hours to get out, to arrive over Zaragoza. 12 hours. And then I thought about those poor bastards in Benghazi that Obama killed and Hillary Clinton murdered. And they only had 10 hours of time. So we would have been too late. And it really bothered me. And then I asked myself, why were we in Benghazi, and what did we have to do with the overthrow of Gaddafi? And you know what I found? Obama never got permission to do that from Congress. Yet we participated in the NATO overthrow of Muammar Gaddafi. We provided air cover. We had ships off the coast. And we destroyed his communications. And I said, my goodness, we had all of these people. And if I find it, I'm going to read it to you. Because it was a major operation. And it seems like it was really orchestrated by the British. Now, the British and the French have been dividing up the Middle East since World War I. But what were we doing in it, and how come nobody was ever told? And then I said to myself, we couldn't rescue four Americans. Yet, we took Gaddafi out of power, I think. In August 2011, Gaddafi was deposed, and you ought to see what they did to him. And then, a year later, in Benghazi, there wasn't one rescue team available, and that really bugged me. And here I am thinking, well, we could have sent them from Fort Bragg. And then I picked up something. Did you ever hear of Souda Bay? S-O-U-D-A, Bay? It's in Greece. Did you know we had a complete strike force in Greece? Now, Aviano Air Force Base in Italy was 450 miles from Benghazi, which means an F-16 flying at Mach 2 could probably have been over that trap in 30 minutes. But let's not exaggerate. Let's say 40 minutes. What are we going to do? But so I took a little look at Souda Bay. U.S. Naval Forces in Souda Bay. They got an aircraft carrier in there. There was an aircraft carrier called the Kearsarge that might have been in the area at that time. And I never even knew about that. And you know why I don't know about it? It's not because I'm not looking for it. It's because there's a massive cover-up and the media is in league with the communist-controlled government of the United States. Oh, you use that word communist a lot. You bandy it about. What are you, a McCarthyite? Be careful what you say about Blessed Joseph McCarthy. The only problem with McCarthy was he had the wrong list. J. Edgar Hoover had the right list. And you know how to, you know that they're taking his name off the FBI building? Just like that one day they're going to tell you to take that cross down. You better put one up on your front lawn. Because one day it's going to be banned. They already took the Ten Commandments down, didn't they? And when the Ten Commandments went down, immorality went up. Did you notice that? I'm looking at this Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and he's denouncing the United States. It must be nice. And it's like sitting down to dinner, and you have eight waiters, and everybody caters to you. And when you finish stuffing yourself and you wash down a meal with fine wine, you turn around and say you hate the restaurant. Yeah. I did a little research on Kareem Abdul-Jabbar because he's a Muslim, but he wasn't always a Muslim. His name used to be Lou Alcindor, and he used to go to Catholic high school. And you want to hear the best? His father was a New York City cop. And I think he was a captain in the New York City Transit Authority Police. I saw a picture of him in an office, and he's got a handgun on his side, holster on his side. And not only that, I learned that his father used to play trombone. And he played with people like Dizzy Gillespie. He was at JFK's in a band at JFK's birthday when Marilyn Monroe sang Happy Birthday as the audience drooled. And his mother's name was Cora. And they looked like they were good people. And I don't know how he got into a Power Memorial Academy, a Catholic school. And somebody blogged, and I don't believe it, but somebody blogged that once you turn Muslim, you have to denounce your Christian parents. And then I thought about that Ten Commandments being taken down. And number four says what? I don't know. Number four? I don't even know what's behind door number two. Number four says, honor thy father and thy mother. So we'll say a little prayer for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And my question is, when he was born, was he baptized? Because if they poured the water and said the magic words, there are no refunds. Unbelievable. I'm trying to find this article. I'll give you another tune, and then I can concentrate on it. And we'll do Tangerine. Thank you. Okay, I found the article. This is from the Daily Beast, and this was written on August the 30th, 2011, and it's by a guy named John Barry. Do you know who John Barry was in American history? You don't know because you went to Communist Cucumber School, and they'll never teach you about American heroes. They have their own make-believe heroes. John Barry is the father of the American Navy. And he was born in Ireland. And there's a statue of him over there somewhere. I forget the county. The U.S. military, America's secret Libya war. The U.S. military has spent about $1 billion on Libya's revolution and secretly helped NATO with everything from munitions to surveillance aircraft. Obama sent American servicemen into harm's way and never told anybody. John Barry provides an exclusive look at Obama's emerging covert intervention strategy. For a guy that helps England, hates England, he gives him a lot of help. So let me see where we are here. I can't take it. I'm sorry for this delay. This is killing me here. Here we are. Let's see. Okay, I might be doing it right now. Okay, here we go. I'm sorry. The U.S. military has spent $1 billion. That Obama's administration hopes will let America fight small wars with a barely detectable footprint. That's misleading the American people. Obama's supposed to be a peacenik. So what he's doing is he's working behind the screen to hurt us, to hurt a lot of people. Officially, President Obama handed the lead role You're killing me. Of ousting Muammar Gaddafi to the European members of NATO. For this, he was criticized by Washington I'm dying here. But, okay, I'm just going to have to jump around here. Without extensive American help, they couldn't have succeeded. What the hawks underestimated was the U.S. ability to operate without publicity in military lingo beneath the radar. According to two senior NATO officials, one American and the other European, these are the critical U.S. contributions during the 6 months. So for 6 months, America was at war with Libya and nobody told us. Listen to this. An international naval force gathered off of Libya. To lower the U.S. profile, the administration elected not to send a supercarrier. Even so, a dozen U.S. warships on station were the biggest contingent in this armada. In the opening hours of the campaign, an American submarine, the USS Florida, launched 100 cruise missiles against Libyan air defenses. Let's go back to Benghazi. No sub off the coast. 100 cruise missiles. in the opening hours, crucially opening an entry corridor for the airstrikes that followed. U.S. tanker aircraft refueled European aircraft on the great majority of missions against Gaddafi's forces. I joked when I saw what we were doing there. I said, you need a cruise missile to take to get a cab? All you got to do is holler taxi. They was taking out taxi cabs with cruise missiles. The Europeans have tanker aircraft, but not enough to support a 24/7 air offensive averaging, by NATO count, around 100 missions a day. Some 50 of them strike sort, and the U.S. flew 30 of the 40 tankers. And we couldn't come in with one team for four guys on a rooftop for 10 hours. When the Europeans ran low on precision attack munitions, the U.S. quietly resupplied them. That explains why European air forces flying F-16s, those of Norway, Denmark, Belgium, carried out a disproportionate share of the strikes in the early phase of the campaign. The U.S. had munitions to resupply them. When Britain and France, which fly European-built strike aircraft, also ran short, they couldn't use the U.S.-made bombs until they had made hurried modifications to their aircraft. To target Gaddafi's military, NATO largely... Who was in NATO that declared war on Libya? Why did we do it? Who were we working for? Did you hear of anything about NATO going up against Muammar Gaddafi? That had to be an oil field grab for the Brits and the French. To target Gaddafi's military, NATO largely relied on U.S. JSTARS surveillance aircraft, which flying offshore could track the movements of rival forces. How come we didn't have any over Benghazi? When more detailed targeting information was needed, as in the battles for Misrata and other towns defended by Gaddafi's troops, the U.S. flew Predator drones to relay a block-by-block picture. How's that? Isn't that wonderful? U.S. Air Force targeting specialists were in NATO's Naples operational headquarters throughout the campaign. The Italians invaded Libya. Well, it's not too far away. They oversaw the preparing during World War II, I'm talking. They oversaw the preparing of target folders for the strikes in Tripoli against Gaddafi's compound and the headquarters of his military and intelligence services. Organizing precision strikes by high-speed jets is not a task for novices. The attack routes over Tripoli and the release times of bombs had to be precisely calibrated, so munitions released even a second late by a strike aircraft would have the best chance of avoiding civilian homes. But they couldn't get four guys on a rooftop. U.S. AWACS aircraft high over the Mediterranean handled much of the battle management task. Where was the AWAC for the boys in Benghazi? Again, the Europeans have AWACS, but not enough crews to handle an all-hours campaign lasting months. Eavesdropping by U.S. intelligence, some by aircraft, some by a listening post quietly established just outside Libya. Oh, we had a listening post outside Libya. And remember the drone that went there? They said it was unarmed and it took pictures of the guys dying on the rooftop. Remember that? How do you know it was unarmed? They told you. Did they make you sign a non-disclosure agreement? In all, let's see here. One senior NATO official pointed to the U.S. invasion of Afghanistan, and they're killing me here, these people. The Daily Beast is a beast. Okay, so let me tell you what it all means. President Obama may have taken the U.S. out of a direct combat role, but he certainly did not take American forces out of the front line. And eavesdropping by listening posts gave NATO unparalleled knowledge of what Gaddafi's military planned. All this was crucial in supporting the effort. The administration largely stuck to Obama's decision that the U.S. would not put boots on the ground. That's a joke. Obama will send them in wearing sneakers. Although the CIA did have agents inside Tripoli, where were they for the boys in Benghazi? British and French special forces were on the ground training and organizing insurgents, as were two Arab nations, Qatar and Jordan, but their communications relied on a satellite channel run by the U.S., and the U.S. also supplied high-tech gear. NATO sources declined to identify it. When a desperate Gaddafi decided to launch Scud missiles into towns held by the opposition, a U.S.-guided missile destroyer offshore negated his offensive by... This is terrible, man, terrible. By the opposition, a U.S.-guided missile destroyer shot down the Scud. Pentagon facing deep budget cuts. The Libyan campaign will likely, that's probably why he went, to eat up the money. So when the real battle begins, we can't fight. And it's going to provoke. There is zero appetite to repeat the massive... expense, I guess, whatever. Okay, I just wanted to give you how much firepower Obama put on Libya in 2011, but he couldn't find anybody to go help four guys on a rooftop for 10 hours. That's the name of that tune. And we'll give you another tune. We'll do Keep the Ball Rolling. This is a Donald Trump song. Okay, we're going to wrap it up. That's our show for tonight. I'm sorry I wasn't as dynamic as I'd like to be. But, as always, the sun will come out tomorrow. Mark Levin went after O'Reilly tonight and cautioned him to behave himself. And so I sent Mark a suggestion. I went on his Twitter. I tweeted him. I feel like, what's it, Sylvester the Cat and Tweety Bird? I tweeted him. I sent him a Twitter. But I said to Mark, be sure to get Mark's bestseller, Killing O'Reilly. I figured that'd give him a chuckle. So we'll find a nice tune for On the Way Out. We'll do a little Knock on Wood. Tomorrow night, Saturday Night Live, is going to be watched by more people than watch any of the news media. And I wish Donald Trump well, and I hope there isn't a stunt maker in that crowd that causes people to be hurt. And God help NBC if that should happen, because they're going to be blamed for it. So I'm going to close out the tribute to the feminist movement, and I'm going to play a pro-feminist song.
Step right up, folks, and see Lilisha do a famous dance of the pyramid. Now she walks, she talks, she crawls on her belly like a reptile. Just one thin dime, one tenth of a dollar. Step right up, folks. I went and bought myself a ticket. I sit down in the very first row. They pull the curtain up, and when they turn the spotlight way down low, a little Egypt came out certain, wearing nothing but a button and a bow, singing, singing.
at the audience, and then she turned around. She had a picture of a cowboy sitting on a spot saying Phoenix, Arizona, 1949.
But let me tell you, people, little Egypt doesn't dance there anymore.
Good night, folks, and God keep you safe.